We're thankful for our praise band and our choir and orchestra and pianist and for all that they do in leading us in worship. Today I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to talk about God speaking. Are you listening? So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll go to several other texts. Hebrews 1, 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come today for corporate worship. And we know that a lot of people here have some heavy, heavy hearts, and we know things on the international scene are just in total chaos. And so, Lord, what we need to be doing right now, it's petitioning you, but not only petitioning you, but listening to what you have to say to us. Thank you for preserving your word. Thank you that our Lord taught us how to pray. And so as we think about our prayer life, we usually do all the talking. But today we want to talk about listening. So may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you as we share in the study of your word together this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The recent passing of Alex Trebek brought forth many tributes nationally and internationally. He hosted Jeopardy for 37 years. I read recently about a girl named Ava Gupta, January a couple of years ago. She was competing in their college competition, and through January, she was the champion. She had this to say about him. He was so impressive to her. She said, Alex Trebek taught us there are no alternative facts. She said, when a statement would be put out, there would only be one question. Alex Trebek did not look at the judges, because I might be appealing that the question that I gave in answer to what was on the board, maybe they might give points because of what culture says instead of what is absolute truth. She said never one time did he appeal to a judge to give you extra points because you wanted to argue that your answer was right and culture said all things are true. He would always say, ooh, sorry. She also said this. She said, we want truth and real and final Jeopardy. Now let's play Jeopardy for just a moment. You just chose the Bible category. For $550 and the daily double. The only one who can give eternal life and abundant life. And the answer is, who is Jesus? That never changes. After we're born again, the next stop, what does God want me to do with my life? We get that answer by talking to God, but mostly by listening. I'm amazed at how many people that I've talked to through the years that go through life and have absolutely no idea what God's plan and purpose has been for them. So we're going to look at Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. It's a passage that speaks about how God spoke to people in the past. He spoke through prophets, but in the last days he has spoken by his sons. So he says he spoke to our forefathers in various ways. He spoke to them through prophets. Think about Moses. He was spoken to, can you imagine, through a burning bush. That would just be frightening. We look and we see that Daniel was spoken to in a lion's den. One of my favorites is Balaam. Balaam was spoken to by a donkey. There were two church secretaries that belonged to that same church. It was not Kim and Patsy, but they were having a theological discussion one day, and the secretary said, one of them said, do you think God can speak to man through a donkey today? And the other secretary said, yes, he speaks to us through a donkey every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. But that wouldn't be Kim and Patsy saying anything like that. God speaks to us in many different ways, and he has done that throughout the centuries. First of all, the value of listening to God's voice. I want you to be convinced today that we need to listen to God. I want you to be convinced that God needs to talk to you, that God wants to speak to you and communicate with you. What is the worth of hearing God? First of all, listening to God confirms my conversion. In chapter 10 of John, verse 14, Jesus is called the good shepherd. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and I know those who are mine, and my sheep know me, and they hear my voice. Then down in verse 27, he says, my sheep follow me, and they hear my voice. Jesus is the shepherd. He's the shepherd of the flock. We're his church. He wants to speak, and he wants us to listen. It doesn't matter how many children God has, all of our voices and hearts are very unique. He can distinguish between them. And listen to me, he has an ear for all ages, children, teenagers, adults, senior adults. He's concerned about the family of God. The problem we have in our society is we like to worship the superstars. We think the Charles Stanleys, the Louis Giglios, and David Jeremiah, and some of the others, that those are the only people that God speaks to. Those are the only people that God listens to. Listen to me carefully. He's interested in every single one of us. Mom and Dad had three little munchkins 4 years apart. They knew the difference in three voices if a child was speaking all the way at the other end of the house. God listens to your petitions, and he wants to communicate with us, but we have to learn to listen to him. We get security of our salvation because he is the shepherd, we're the sheep, and he assures us through his word, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, through his voice, that we belong to him. Second thing I want you to write down, listening to God's voice centers me on God's calling. Job 33:17. He may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. When your parents spoke to you when you were growing up and they were giving you instructions, it was for your safety and security. Mom and Dad would tell us, when the burners are on in the kitchen, don't touch them. We had an old kerosene oil furnace in the floor that had a big grid across it. They said, don't walk on the grid barefooted. And you didn't have to do it but once, and you knew that your parents spoke truth. Now, sometimes they may have told you when you were really bad, go play in the street. But if your parents had your best interest in mind, they would say, don't play in the street, and be sure you stop, look both ways before you go through the crosswalk. That's what this verse is saying in Job. He's saying God speaks to us, and it's important to us. It's worthwhile to us because it keeps us in the very center of God's will. You know, God many times has called me to change my mind. You ever change your mind? My first impulse to do something, you know, I prayed about it quickly. If you ever pray and you already know what you're going to do, and what you're actually doing is telling God you're about to do it, and it's in the flesh. But if you take a little while and meditate on the Word of God and listen for the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you change your mind and you change your direction. It's a joke around here every Monday morning. My sermons are almost finished for this year. I think I need a Thanksgiving sermon and one more, and I'm finished writing for the whole year. So we have somebody who's so wonderful to put the title of the sermon out on the sign on Mondays. But sometimes I come in on Mondays and I look at that sermon that I wrote several months ago, and I said, that is horrible. I have to pray about it, and I tell Ellen, I said, I'm not preaching this sermon next Sunday, and the sign's already been changed. Isn't that terrible? and they said, listen, over here in the IT department, we need your outline. We need all your information on Monday, and you change it all the time on Mondays. And I said, well, I can. I do it because I can. But you wouldn't want me to preach the one that I just reviewed because it is absolutely horrible. You see it all the time. You can save embarrassment. You can save some pain by being in the center of God's will. The third thing you want to write down, listen to God's voice causes me to be constructive. If you don't hear the voice of God, if you don't get direction from God, you can't bear spiritual fruit. Look at what Jesus said in John 15, verse 5. The person who shares my life and whose life I share will be fruitful. Apart from me, you cannot do as much. Apart from me, King James Version says, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. Nothing that we can do that's acceptable to God unless we are in the center of His will. The Bible says it's the Father's will for us to be productive Christians, bearing fruit that brings glory and honor to the Father. The person who shares my life, says Jesus, whose life I share, will be fruitful. And so often we say, well, man, I'm so busy. I got so much to do today. I don't even have time to pray. Martin Luther, the reformer, said, I have so much work to do today, I've got to spend at least 3 hours in prayer. Can you imagine? The more you have to do, the more time we need to bathe it in prayer. We rush out the door. And we wonder why we're not more fruitful for Christ. We wonder why we're not more productive. It's because we just don't take the time to talk to God and get His instructions. Now notice the variety of ways of listening to God. Job 44:13. For God does speak. No one way, not, and then another, though a man may not perceive it. In other words, there are different ways that God speaks to us. We're not talking about an audible voice here. Hearing God speaks to us in voices that we hear with our physical ears. But what we're talking about right now is our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes. You know what Jesus said, beware of having ears that cannot hear. Beware of having eyes that cannot see spiritually. There are a lot of people that don't have spiritual ears. There are a lot of people that don't have spiritual eyes. When you don't have spiritual eyes, you don't have discernment when you're dealing with other people. When you don't have spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, you're not following after God's will because you're not listening and you're not seeing what He wants you to do. The voice of God is what you hear. With the ears of the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, you have spiritual ears. If you're a child of God, you've got spiritual eyes, but you got to use them. Hebrews 1:1, again, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. We hear the Word of God through what? The Bible. We hear from God through the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That word God breathed there is so important. You say, Pastor, do you think God chose different writers for the Bible so they could express their best opinions about God's ideas? Absolutely not. That's heresy. I'm telling you, that's pneuma, spirit. Spirit inspired. This is the Word of God. The number one way God speaks to us is through the Bible. And if you don't take time to read and meditate on the Bible, you're just closing up communication between you and God. Proverbs 14:15 is a great verse to remember. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. I love this, what the psalmist wrote in 119:105. He says, your word is a lamp given me to guide me, a light for my path. In 119:105, he says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So God speaks to us through Scripture. Second thing you want to write down is We hear him through workers who are gifted teachers. Romans 12:6. We got different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesying is in accordance with your faith. And he lists the gifts of preaching, prophecy. There's the gift of encouragement. There's a gift of teaching. There's a gift of soul winning and on and on. When you listen to people that are gifted teaching the word of God, God speaks to us. And that's what I want to be as your pastor. I've sat in congregations before, especially in Bible conferences. And the preacher's up there preaching. I've never met him. He's never heard of me. I've never heard of him. And when he's preaching the word of God, it's like he's been reading my mail or my emails or my texts or listening into my phone conversations. That's one reason I write my messages in advance. When I have to do counseling with somebody, may have been a marriage problem, and I got to keep that confidential, but next Sunday I'm preaching on marriage, and I wrote that sermon 3 months ago. That counselee knows that I'm not undressing their problems before the congregation. I didn't decide to write on marriage after they came to tell me their marriage was coming apart. It was written 3 months ago before I ever knew that person had a problem. God can use you to speak a word to somebody. A word of encouragement or kindness or instruction or a word to help. A lady came by the house to do a physical and take some blood from me one morning this week. She was a young lady. She's very nice. She said she's in nursing school. Oh man, that's great. She said, this job with this insurance company, she said, I can set my own schedule. I said, that's even better. She said, I've got a 10-year-old. I said, oh, congratulations, I guess. And so she kept, and then she stuck, when she stuck me, I said, now listen, my wife was a med tech. I know the proper way to stick. I'm gonna see if you're any good. And so she stuck. I said, you're good. You're good. And so we talked a little longer. She said, my mother's making sure I get through school. She said, I'm single. She said, but I got a boyfriend. I said, really? And so you know me, I ask a few more questions as long as they want to talk. And so as we talked along there a little while, she said, I just found a job in Atlanta last week for $50 an hour giving people COVID tests. So I told my mother I'm dropping out of school, out of nursing school, and going to give COVID tests in Atlanta. I said, what did your mother say? She said, absolutely not. You're going to finish the drill and get your nursing degree. I said, praise God for your mama. She said, but you know what? My daddy, I don't remember him working in about 20 or 25 years. He made mama work. She said, I've already told my boyfriend. Said, he's got a job right now. But she said, I'm going to make a lot of money one day. But she said, if he's going to stay with me, he's going to keep a job. I heard a key word there, stay. And so when she got through, I said, I'm gonna walk you out to your car. And so I went, you know, back in my SUV, I got a lot of books back there. And so I said, first thing I wanna do, you're gonna make a lot of money one day. I said, you ever heard of Dave Ramsey? No, I haven't. I said, here's Total Money Makeover. You're gonna love this. It'll teach you to manage money. Then I said, I need something about marriage here. Let me see what I can do for you. And then I want to invite you to church. I know a good church for you to go to. And so I talked to her a little bit, and I said, there's a little country song called Take Me to the Little White Church. Take me to the church, the little white church, the little white church in the veil. I might be cheap, but I'm not free. Do you understand what I'm telling you, lady? I said, a man who's not willing to commit in marriage is somebody you need to get out of your life. I said, I know you didn't come here expecting a sermon today. She said, thank you for what you told me. and she drove away. Look at what Ephesians 4:11 says. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built. Pastors and teachers in that verse. In the most accurate manuscripts, it ought to be a hyphenated word, pastor, teachers, because whether you got the gift of teaching or not, if you're pastor and you're shepherding a flock, and you'd better study the word of God and feed your people when they come. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, we do not speak in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit as we explain other truths. In other words, there are plenty of people who are knowledgeable on many subjects that any preacher that you can find in the church, but this church or another church. So why do we need to come and hear the preacher? Because God has given him a gifted teacher to you to give you direction and give you encouragement. I'm getting to the point where I remember the past a whole lot better than I know what's going on right now. Isn't that great? You don't need to take any relaxers when you're like that. You just don't worry. Less stress. But I remember my ordination sermon in 1981, and Delane's dad chose preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. He said, Timothy says this, preach the word of God. And Dr. Bradley said, I am so tired of people in Augusta, Georgia coming to him and saying, my preacher is a good man, but he simply cannot preach. And here's what he said. If God called you to preach, if you'll study, you'll learn to give instruction from the word of God. Then he said, study people. Then he said, wherever you pastor, you love people. He said, you and Delane always act as a team together ministering to people. And then he said, you're going to have critics. Some of it's constructive criticism. Other criticism, people don't know what they're talking about. Other criticism will come from people who have sin in their lives that they haven't dealt with. He said, preach Bible principles. I could hear the message in my mind like it was preached to me this morning. And he said, the critics can never stop the word of God from going forward. God used a man of God, a gifted preacher, to burn a message on my brain and in my heart that's lasted for over 41 years. And then God speaks to us through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I've said. You know, the most wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit to me is that the Holy Spirit knows how to go down into my heart and mind and pull out the truth at just the time I have a need for it. Some people talk about computers. They talk about memory. They talk about servers. The Holy Spirit will pull up from the Word what we need at the moment we need it. Job said in Job 33:14, for God does speak, now one way, now another, though no one perceives it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings. Can the Holy Spirit, now be careful here, make impressions on us through our dreams? The answer is yes. But you'd better be careful to filter what you experience through dreams through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You know, I had this impression to do something. It was given to me by a dream, but is it right? Is it biblical? Now, at one extreme, you got rationalists out here, and they say God doesn't really speak to us today. He may have spoken to Daniel and David and all these other men in the Bible, but he doesn't speak to us. If you have an impression that comes from something you read, somebody said to you, and all that in your mind is just recycling information that doesn't come from God at all. That's the rationalist way of dealing with your dreams. Then there's the radical view. God doesn't speak to us and make impressions on us at all. And then on the other side, there are those who say that the Lord gave them all their impressions. There are people that take that too far and they take it out here to the extreme. I wish I could not count, and I really can't accurately, the times that people come in my office and sit down and say, Pastor, I'm leaving my wife or I'm leaving my husband and my children because I have found my soulmate. And I prayed about it, and God's given me peace. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And the reason they're coming to see a pastor talking like a fool is they want the pastor to place his approval on what they're about to say. But the Word of God says that you're lying to yourself. Some of those folks get their impression from God. We read about them. Sometimes a serial killer. They'll interview him after he's arrested. He said, well, God told me to kill all those people. God did not tell you to kill all those people. So we got to look at the Word. God's never going to speak to you and lead you to do something that's contrary to the law according to the Word of God. Then God speaks through a crisis. Now, I don't mean this only in a negative sense, but I want us to look at it both ways. Psalm 119, 67, 71, and 72. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn from your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver. Proverbs 20:30, blows and wounds scrub away evil, and beatings purge the innermost being. God's working in our life, in our pain. And God is never intentionally trying to be mean to us. Now, you can be angry at God if you want to. That's fine. God can handle that. But you're walking dangerously if you stay there. It's always a loving Father who is using some painful experience to make us pay attention and make us listen. I love what C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, and he shouts at us in our pain. Sometimes it's a painful experience so that we'll listen to God and get in tune with God. Sometimes we're flat on our backs. Sometimes we're in critical condition. Our life is in the balance. I'm not talking about a God who is vengeful. I'm talking about a God who doesn't want to waste anything that's allowed in our lives. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you've never lost in death somebody that you love, you don't know what it's like to be comforted. Last Sunday morning, I was here for 20 minutes. And I got a text from a friend of ours from North Carolina. Her husband dropped dead 2.5 months ago at age 58. She texted me last Sunday morning and she said, I'll see you and Delaney in church. Church was over. We took her out to lunch. We listened to her pour out her heart. And I just had to tell her, I can't feel what you're feeling. I've never lost my spouse. I can't feel the heartbreak, but I know this, that God's going to take care of you, and you need to make decisions very, very slow. And we're here for you. All you got to do is pick up the phone. But if you have never had that happen to you like I haven't, there's no way you can even identify with what she's feeling. If you've been hurt, if you've been broken, if you've been tossed to and fro, if you've been caught in a storm and you went to the Father and your heart was broken before him and you found bound up and broken was your heart, all you can do is present it to him. God speaks to us through a pain, listen, to correct us, to comfort us, and to challenge us to be what God wants us to be. Tony Evans told a story that really wraps up everything I'm saying today with a ribbon and a bow on top. He said there was a native Indian who was walking with a businessman in a very large American city. There were horns blowing, there were cabs, buses, cars, crowds on the sidewalk, and as they walked down the sidewalk, the Native American Indian looked at the businessman and said, "You hear those crickets?" Businessman said, "Crickets? I don't hear no crickets. All I hear is the noise of the city." He said, "Yeah, there's crickets all around here. I hear them." And so as they walked down the street, finally the Native American Indian walked off the sidewalk into some bushes and picked up a cricket. He said, "Here's one of those crickets and making all that noise." And the man said, "I can't believe you can hear a cricket." And so the Native American Indian reached in his pocket and he pulled out all the change he had going down the sidewalk. And 20 people turned around because they heard money hit the ground. And the American Indian looked at the businessman. He said, "My ears are tuned to nature. Your ears are tuned to money." Let me leave you with a question. Whose voice are your ears and my ears tuned to hear? Stand right where you are. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us here today. Simple message, something we've heard over and over again, but we get in a hurry. And even when we're having our prayer and meditation time, that smartphone sitting there or that electronic device, and a little ping goes off and says, "Lord, would you hold it right there? I've got to check and see who's Facebooking me here. Maybe a Twitter or something else." We're not listening to God. We're listening for our friends, our family members, a news flash. And Lord, how we as Christians need to be listening to God, and how we as a nation need to be listening to you, because our problems here in America and around this world are all spiritual in nature. And that's why you sent your Son to die on a cross, to give us a new nature and spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, so we could live to bring honor and glory to you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, shed his blood on Calvary's cross to pay for your sins and mine and our salvation. Rose again the third day so that we're guaranteed that if we're born again, we'll spend eternity in heaven with him. Whosoever calls on his name, in other words, whosoever receives the free gift by repentance and faith, may be saved. There'll be people on the Family Life side and here in the worship center to explain that to you if you're not saved. Here today, you've already been saved. You need to make it public. Candidate for baptism, I invite you to come. Some of you have been our guests for a long time. You've been praying about it. God's given you peace. Pleasant Valley South is a place to plant your spiritual gifts. Listen to God and corporately serve with the only organization Jesus shed his blood for, and that's the New Testament Church. This is the most important time in this service, when God is taking his Holy Spirit and applying what you've heard to your heart and your mind, publicly and privately. We just need to make the decisions you want us to make that will bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Dan and Richard are coming forward with the praise band and the Family Life Center. Ted's going to join me here at the front. We ask you to come with your decision today or your prayer need. If because of COVID or because of you just don't like standing in front of people, after the service, we'll be standing at the Connect desk in the Family Life Center, or we'll be standing at the desk in the Welcome Center. We'll take you to our office. Whatever your needs are, we'd be glad to counsel with you. If you're watching on an electronic device today, just call 706-234-1841. Leave a message, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Mark's going to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.